Now in year number six, it's a Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels. Everybody sit back and enjoy a chat about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I do hope you'll share it with your friends and family. Cheers! Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 323 of A Yank on the Footy. I'm Craig Wessels, coming to you from Sandusky, Ohio. I'm thrilled that you're checking out this episode. In just a moment, I'm going to be joined by my mate, Dave Lloyd, who has been a guest not once, not twice, but three times on the podcast, episode 61, 132, and 225. And we're going to discuss the aftermath or a look back at the gather round from the vantage point of an Adelaide resident, a mad Port Adelaide supporter, and going to look at the pros and cons, the good things that happened, and if there were any opportunities or instances where we could find some improvement. I do hope you'll check out my website, yankonthefooty.com, and get on the mailing list. If you enjoy the podcast, I do hope you'll consider leaving a five-star review. You can also help out the podcast clicking on that Buy Me a Coffee button if you'd like to do that as well. But ultimately, be a huge help if you'd share the episode with your friends and family. So let's go ahead and jump into my chat with Dave Lloyd. All right, ladies and gentlemen, my guest this episode is no stranger to the podcast. I have had him on not once, not twice, but three previous times. And I will list those episodes in the show notes for you to check those out. I am happy to be joined by Dave Lloyd, who is a mad Port Adelaide supporter. And Dave reached out, and I'm so glad that he did, to talk about the gather round and reflect upon it and look back at what has transpired this weekend. And Dave, how are you doing, sir?
Yeah, Craig, I'm really well. Good to be speaking with you once again. Both our sides are looking all right at the moment, and we've just had, obviously, gather round in Adelaide. And yeah, as I said, I reached out, thought you may be interested in having a bit of a chat about gather round and what it did for Adelaide and more so South Australia over the last couple of weeks.
Well, and even for the last couple of years as well, because it's
indeed,
you know, this is the second year. And I have to ask, and I don't, you know, I tend not to stray into politics in Australia, because it's, you know, I can certainly look and see what's happening, but, you know, it's not my position to comment on anything. But are you satisfied with the job that the premier has done? And I'm probably going to butcher his name. Is it Malinauskas?
Yep, Peter Malinauskas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, are you happy with the job that he has done? In, you know, from what it sounds like, he's led the charge at getting the gather round to South Australia.
Certainly, he's hard to recall a more popular premier in my living memory, if I'm honest. He was noted by the previous premier, Jay Weatherill, as being built in a laboratory for politicians. He's debonair. He's charismatic. He's a good looking man. He's done a fantastic job for the state. He's got a real majority in the House of Representatives, which means he's got some real power politically to pull some strings. He's got a couple of weaknesses. His main promise at the most recent election probably hasn't been fulfilled. But when it comes to growing the economic pie, which is, I guess, the main thing we need to do if we want our health and education departments to be stronger, that's on the basis of having more revenue, more money to spend.
Okay.
And gather round and live golf and several other items, particularly sporting items on the agenda, are doing a lot to increase that overall revenue. And Mr. Malinauskas himself plays Aussie rules for the Adelaide University Blacks.
Okay.
In the local amateur league competition. He plays in their E grade, which is commonly known as the scum by the University Blacks. But yeah, he still plays most games, work permitting, and yeah, he's very much a sport enough, and like myself, a mad Port Adelaide fan. So yeah, well, I think he's very, very popular at the moment.
Well, I mean, yeah, when you mentioned that, you know, that he was suave and debonair and handsome and looked like he was built in a laboratory, I thought you were talking about me for a minute there, but
well, look, I certainly am.
And then I realized I've got my camera on, and I looked at myself and I said, no, he's not talking about you at all. Be quiet.
You can use that as your new introduction if you like.
There, yes. Yeah. I may edit that down. Exactly. That's not bad. I like that idea. I might actually do that. So you know, it sounds as though, you know, this is somebody who, you know, has a vested interest in seeing the game be successful in South Australia, which is going to lead me down another path here in a few minutes. But what are some of the things that he did that is common knowledge that people that are not in South Australia, because that he has done to help bring these games and this round to South Australia? Because not everybody is happy that these games were in South Australia. You know, a lot of the, you know, I think I saw Lee Matthews was, you know, lamenting that the Crows in Port Adelaide were getting, you know, an extra home game. And I'm thinking to myself as a Geelong supporter, huh, I'm going to guess that the Pies and the Bombers and the Tigers probably will not speak up very much about this. Neither will, you know, maybe Carlton won't either. But do you look at it as like, well, you're getting an extra home game, or is this kind of just leveling the playing field a little bit?
Well, look, there's no denying it, given that we now get the 12 games here instead of the 11, we are getting the additional game. But as you said, the tenants of the MCG probably can't speak up too much on that, given that they play many of their away games at their own home ground. So it's that's probably a bit of a moot point from Mr. Matthews, who also I noticed last night said that a lot of the AFL media are drinking the Kool-Aid when it comes to the gather round. So I think he might just have his grumpy pants on at the moment. So I'm not listening to too much of what Mr. Matthews said. But what Peter Malinauskas did a couple of years ago was looked at the major events department, that part of his team, and decided to pour a bit more money into those major events funds so he could, I guess, spend some money on the gather round. And it, whilst we'll never know the exact figures, it was estimated that the state government spent around $80 million on the securing the rights for the gather round for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
This being the second year. So if the total spend was $80 million, it was estimated that last year alone brought around $85 million into the South Australian economy. So if 1 year of return covers 4 years of investment, I think you'd suggest it's a pretty pretty smart business venture.
Sounds like it.
Correct. And look, last year the tickets last year, it was estimated 32% of the 260,000 tickets were purchased by interstate or overseas visitors, where this year that's gone to 38%. So over one in three tickets were purchased by people from interstate or overseas, and the estimate was around 60,000 people had come over from Victoria alone for the event. I bumped into some people on Sunday out in the Barossa Valley who were over from Perth, some West Coast supporters that have made their way over, and they were out enjoying the wine region, which I guess, good little segue, is where games will be held next year.
Okay. Which, let's be honest, if you're a West Coast supporter, you probably do want to hit up the winery before the games anyway.
I think before, during, and after would be the best time to do that. Yeah.
But you know, there are a few pieces there, but it's going to be a long slog, I think, before they are back to where they would like to be, I believe.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. And a little like Port Adelaide were in the wrong spot at the wrong time when Gold Coast and GWS expansion clubs came in. You probably don't want to be at the bottom of the ladder with Tasmania not far away. Obviously, their draft concessions will be heavy, and they'll be able to, much like Gold Coast or GWS, secure a 17-year-olds before they go into the draft.
Yeah.
So it's probably not a good time to be in the bottom three or four, because in the next 3 or 4 years, a lot of that top end talent's going to head to the newer team. So,
and you may also see, a number of players who have been in the league for a number of years who have roots in Tasmania who decide to make the jump home as well.
Absolutely. And they'll probably be also given some salary cap concessions where they might be able to spend a little like Gold Coast did getting Gary Ablett out of Geelong.
Yeah,
they can put some of his salary towards a marketing type role as a marquee player. And yeah, I'm no doubt Tasmania will get similar concessions where they'll be able to target a couple of big names and try and get them on board. But yeah, look, the round here itself, the last week, the city was a buzz leading into the to gather round. I went into the city on the Wednesday night before everything kicked off. It really did see the colours of every team walking around. At the Port Essendon game on Friday night, I had a couple of guys sitting behind me. One was St Kilda supporter, one was a Bulldogs supporter. There was people in North Melbourne gear that had been to the Brisbane North game earlier that day, had then gone to Adelaide Oval. So to see colours of all the teams walking around the city was brilliant. Being a two-team town, it's normally fairly one-sided when you go to either Adelaide or Port game. You tend to get the real diehard supporters of the opposition come along and maybe a few locals, but it's generally 90 or 95% of the home team. Where both games, I think there was a good good blend of neutrals as well as supporters from both sides that had come over. There was certainly a fairly strong Essendon contingent there on Friday night.
Now, overall, would you say that the population of Adelaide has been, or what I guess has been, welcoming to, you know, people coming in from Victoria, coming in from WA, coming in from New South Wales or Queensland, depending upon where they're coming to watch their clubs from? Have they been welcoming of all of these folks? Because, you know, I live in a, you know, a small town that is a tourist town. We get at the amusement park here, Cedar Point, we get over 2 million visitors a year at that park. And, you know, this is a town of only about 26,000 people, and we pack 2 million people a year over the span of about 5 months, 5.5 months in that park. So were they...
Well, look, with Adelaide being South Australia being a football state from the very beginning, we obviously love the native game, and if we can share the love of that game with other people, we do. And I think that was probably the overwhelming feeling or factor over the last week or two, is that if people are coming here to share the great game with us and enjoy what I think many people would say is one of the best stadiums in the world. Certainly cricket fans from around the world also that have been to Adelaide Oval note how spectacular it is. Just a short walk over the bridge from the CBD, easy to access, very welcoming, no bad seats, the old hill, you know, grassed hill up on the scoreboard where you can stand and enjoy the game. So yeah, if people coming here to enjoy our state, and Adelaideans are very proud of the place we live. We often get called a big country town or the backwaters, and we're a little bit behind, but people that come to South Australia soon find out that we've got a lot to offer, not only from our sporting sense, but our regions, our food and wine culture is some of the best in the world, certainly our wines. There's restaurants here that are renowned around the country and around the world. So our culinary offerings are as good as you can get. Our seafood is some of the best produce in the world. So it's not just the football, I guess, we're happy to share, or the love of the game we share. Mm-hmm. It's the showing off our fair city and how good a place it is to come and visit. So, yeah, I'm sure our any visitors who came, I would say they were welcomed with open arms. And, yeah, it's a good time of year to be in South Australia. We have a lot go on at this time of year. We have our Fringe Festival in March, which is a big festival right in the CBD, which is sort of a lot of stand-up comedy and burlesque shows and all manner of shows, which it goes on for about 4 weeks. And then the Arts Festival soon after in the same period, where the weather is probably at its best in the, you know, those mid-20s, early 20s during the day and cool nights. And yeah, March, the city really comes alive just after Christmas for that March period. And I think the timing of the gather round is perfect. It's just on the end of that period. Football season's just kicked off, you know, round five. Everyone's starting to really get into it. So I think they've timed it perfectly. And once again, this weekend, the weather was just stunning all weekend for visitors. Would have been perfect to get out and about and do all those touristy things.
Now, do you think that the zero round this year detracted from that at all?
I I really didn't get my head around the opening round at all, other than the fact we have to acknowledge that the northern states are still a work in progress when it comes to getting people to the competition, to the game. So I understand why they did it, and I guess with Adelaide being locked in for the gather round for the next 2 years, it's a little trade off for the northern states. I guess Western Australia at some point will be putting their hand up and asking, what do we get? It's a long way to Perth, though, for the eastern seaboard. It's 5 or 6 hour flight from Sydney, Brisbane to get across there. So it's a long way to go.
Right.
But yeah, the opening round fell pretty flat here, I think, for most people. It wasn't didn't feel like footy had started until round one.
Yeah. I think you're right. Although, it was fun to have, games that mattered, almost like a bite-sized version of it, because you had that first round where there were four games, so you got the opportunity to kind of ease your way into the season a little bit, instead of jumping in with nine games in that first weekend. So I kind of like that aspect of it. But were there any negatives in Adelaide itself from the gather round? Was there anything that you thought, this didn't quite work out the way they probably had hoped?
Look, I tweeted and put on my Facebook feed last week. It really can't be seen as anything but a roaring success. The whole Riverbank precinct, which is just adjacent to Adelaide Oval, McDonald's, or Macca's as they're known here in Australia, Macca's set up their festival of footy in Rymal Park, which is just opposite the Oval. So there were little installations for kids to go and have a game, or have a kick and a catch and signings. All the clubs got out to regional or to the suburban grounds. So where our local competition, our SANFL teams play at Woodville and Glenelg and Richmond Oval. Collingwood trained at Richmond Oval and probably had about 3,000 people there watching. The Crows put on a clinic down at Glenelg Oval where kids could go and meet their heroes and get their Guernsey signed. Geelong trained at Woodville Oval, which was similar, a bit of a clinic afterwards for the kids. So I think the players probably embraced it as well. It would have taken them back to their roots a little bit, away from the sterile surroundings that they're used to, where they're kind of out of reach of the average man, woman and child, where they sort of get back to the grounds where there's no big fence and there's no security, and kids can run out and say hello and pat them on the back and really get in amongst it. And I fail to see too much that wouldn't be seen as a positive. The media pack that came over from Melbourne, I'm sure they enjoyed their time. All of the best restaurants in Adelaide would have been inundated with the media people with deep pockets. So really positive, I think, on all fronts. I'm sure there'd be some negatives, which would probably be more like most people say, not much good happens after midnight. So I'd say there would have been a few occasions around the city where things may have got a little bit loose after midnight, but that's expected when you got big crowds. But it was really a roaring success, and I think the state embraces it, the city embraces it, and we look forward to it every year.
I when you mentioned that nothing good happens after midnight, I remembered, and I'm not going to try to quote it here at all, but I remember an old stand-up routine from Richard Pryor about how his father would always tell him that he had to be home at 11:30, he and his buddies were all standing around. They said, "What are y'all waiting for? 11:30, stuff's going to go down at 11:30, and he had to be home." So that just popped into my head there. But let's say that the Premier reaches out to you, okay, and says, "Hey, do you have any insight or any input or any ideas on how we could make this even better?" What would you tell him?
Yeah, very good question. Our major events team in South Australia do a great job in promotion and getting the media on board, which is important, because once the once the mainstream media are on board and interested in the project or in the event, then it sort of rolls with itself. But look, from a timing point of view, I think it's perfect when it comes to the climate and the weather. It's the right time. I think playing the two games at Norwood Oval, albeit as a Port Adelaide fan, it's not one of my favourite hunting grounds, but worked beautifully on the weekend. The Norwood Food and Wine Festival came back to life after several years in hibernation, and I think around 70,000 people went to that across the 3 days. Taking it to the Barossa, I think, would have been something I probably would have said. And if anything in the future, potentially down to Victor Harbour, which is about an hour south of Adelaide, down on the Fleurieu Peninsula. It's a beautiful part of the world down there, and a real heartland when it comes to Australian rules footy in SA. It's always been a strong competition, and it's a strong support down there. I think from a exposure for people to our regions, they've had a look at Mount Barker up in the hills, which is a really nice spot. The Barossa next year, given the investment, I think it's about $40 million they're investing in the facility at Lindock to play next year in the Barossa. Given Andrew Dillon, the AFL CEO, suggested we may be in for a bit more of a long haul having this event. I think Victor Harbour in the future would probably be something I'd say to Mr. Malinowskis would be something that, perhaps look at having something in the Southern Vales or down south out of Adelaide would be a great idea.
Okay. And help to spread the wealth even more there, because, you know, you could you would certainly have to get the actual oval into playing shape for an AFL club to actually, you know, or for AFL clubs to actually play on that ground, because you may find, and again, I'm this is supposition on my part, but there may be instances where, you know, a footy ground may not be in the best of condition for, you know, a club at the highest level to come in and play, where they would not want to, you know, possibly jeopardize, you know, injuries from the turf. But, you know, if they were able to get that rectified, that maybe they could come in and play it somewhere else. And if they needed to, they could bring in temporary stands.
Around the ground. Yeah, those Southern Vales I mentioned, sort of down at Victor Harbour or McLaren Vale in that region, it's they get a fair bit of rain through the winter, so this time of year would be the time to play. Probably wouldn't want to be down there in the latter half of the year given the conditions they tend to get, but certainly this time of the year would be perfect down there. And yeah, I think they have turf consultants that come in from the AFL to make sure the surface is fit for play, which is a little bit of irony given Norwood for many years was one of the worst patches of the local competition. It was always very boggy, very muddy and sticky, but it's very well irrigated now. Obviously drainage is really good and one of the better surfaces in the SANFL, and given its proximity to the CBD, it's probably only probably about 4 to 6 kilometers, I think, somewhere in that range from the actual CBD. It makes it very accessible, which is a great spot to have it.
Okay. I mean, that sounds wonderful. And like I said, even if you needed to add more seating, you could do that. Cause right now they're building a facility for the T20 World Championships of Cricket, just outside of New York City right now, that they're putting in, I believe 30 or 35, they're building a temporary cricket ground, but they're putting in like 35,000 35,000 temporary seats around this facility for the championships are going to be getting played in New York coming up, I believe, in July or August of this year.
Yeah, much like when the Bulldogs host games in Ballarat, you know, getting your regional stadiums, I guess, to hold sort of 8,000 to 10,000 people is reasonably doable. We only need a couple of temporary stands, and obviously a lot of people on a hill or on a bank somewhere to oversee the game. Yeah, there'd be facilities down at Victor Harbour that'd certainly be able to host that many people. So hopefully that goes there in the future. But if I was to suggest one thing to the Premier, I guess that'd be it. Would be look at something in the future down south. One negative, if I really dug deep, would be the the success of it has talk, and not that the AFL have discussed it. It's only been sort of in media circles, the discussion that they could potentially look at having another gather round somewhere else around the country in the years to come. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how well it'd work in other places. Victoria, I guess, is eliminated given most weeks they have seven or eight games there anyway. Sydney, I'm not sure they would embrace it as they would need. Perth is a long way from that eastern seaboard, as I mentioned earlier, where the central location of Adelaide, I think, works perfectly. Potentially, I guess, Tasmania, when they come in, it may be worth celebrating their entry with a full round, but they would probably only have the one stadium, so it'd be a little difficult. But
right.
Well, yeah, if it's a negative, it was that good, though, that other states want it, that might be the only negative I could find.
You know, I would certainly advocate if they decided to have one in Victoria, I would most definitely schedule the Tigers and Magpies game to be played in Geelong, along with the Blues and Bombers to be played down there as well.
Means you've got a good sense of humor.
So, you know, just so I can, you know, I can say that they've realized that their team buses actually can travel south on the M1.
It knows where to go.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was going to ask you about whether or not it would, you know, possibly water down the whole concept or idea of the gather round if they were to do it in other places. But, you know, the idea of maybe trying to do something in Tasmania that first year. I could see that being a really good idea, but if you're also wanting that club to become the club of Tasmania, you know, I don't know if you would want to bring in more than just like one other club at a time to play against them.
I agree. Look, Tasmania, they're in for a long burn because they obviously people there that currently support Essendon or St Kilda or whoever mm-hmm. it may be. In your and my age bracket, it's probably going to be hard to get them to, break away from the club that they followed for years, where it's the next generation, it's the kids that they want to get on board. But yeah, you probably don't want to, don't take Geelong there because, you know, dad takes junior along and dad's a Geelong supporter, or junior pretty quickly probably follows Geelong instead of jumping on Tasmania. So,
right,
yeah.
Well, I do want to take a second here, and I want to thank Jack Ellum, who is a fellow podcaster, and she does a show called Tales from Three Corners, which is completely not related to footy at all, but it's absolutely a little podcast that I mean little in terms of the length of the episodes, but it's one that I actually absolutely love. And she lives in Tasmania. She actually bought for me one of the little foundational membership things for the Devils. So I am a foundational member for that. So I'll be getting a little membership packet coming here. So Jack, I appreciate you having done that. That was very, very generous of you for having done that. I mentioned it to her in a message, but I did not mention it publicly. She also does another podcast called The Word Count, where she tracks the stuff that she does as a writer.
Look, as someone who loves the game and wants to see the game grow, I too bought a foundation membership for the Tassie Devils. Over the years, I've had been a financial member of several clubs here in South Australia when they've put their hand out and said, we need some support.
Right.
I don't want to see anyone's club die. I'd hate to see mine go. There was a time when we were in a precarious position, and I think anyone who loves their club deserves their club to stay alive. So I've bought memberships for several SANFL clubs over the years. And I too purchased one of the little Tassie Devil inaugural memberships, because if my $10 can go towards growing the game and giving the people of Tasmania a team to support, well, I think it's $10 well spent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So speaking of games, did you get to multiple games this past weekend, or did you get to just the Port Adelaide game?
Just went to the Port Adelaide game Friday night. I did. Okay. I did have an offer for the doubleheader on Saturday, but had prior commitments. So, I think I know a few people, some good friends who got to three games. They went to the Port game, Essendon, Port Essendon Friday night, and then they went to the two games on Saturday with Geelong and the Bulldogs and Carlton Freo. I know one chap who got to six games. Who
outstanding.
Went. Thursday night, he got to both games Friday, he got to two games Saturday, and then another one on Sunday. So there's a lot of Yeah, look, and his reasoning was very rarely does he get to go to the footy with two mates to watch their team. So he's a Port Adelaide fan, but he went Thursday night with two of his friends who are Crow and Melbourne supporters. So he sort of got to be the neutral in his own state and go and watch two teams that his friends love, and did the same on the Sunday with the Collingwood Hawthorn game. He went along with some friends who were supporters of those two teams, and went along just as a neutral to enjoy the atmosphere.
Okay, so let me ask you this, since you only got to one, but I do want to ask you, what was, in your opinion, what was the best game of the weekend? And I have to tell you that you cannot choose the Port Adelaide game because Essendon decided that they wanted to exempt themselves from consideration for the best game this weekend. So,
yeah, given how one-sided our game was, it was pretty poor. Obviously, the finish to the Carlton Fremantle game was not something we see too often, and was sort of one out of the blocks.
Or that they don't see, as the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what they
or
don't
hear,
see, yeah, more precisely.
Or hear, from what it sounds like. I mean, it's like that. You know, what was it, the story about the six or seven blind guys that, you know, were all, you know, were holding on to different parts of an elephant and trying to describe what an elephant was. And they were one holding the tail and the ear and the body and the tusk and the leg and the trunk, and they all had different descriptions. I think they might have been officiating, except one of them must have been deaf this weekend, because you know the story that's coming out, well, I didn't actually hear Jordan Clark say anything. Well, how do you not just eat your whistle in that situation? If you didn't actually hear anything, you cost a club arguably 4 points, and you know, ultimately could cost them a spot on the ladder later in the year because you think you heard something. And I mean
based on an assumption.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what happens. You know what happens when you make an assumption, right? You make an ass out of you and umption.
You and me, exactly. Yeah, look, you know, the Geelong Bulldogs game, I think, was probably the game of the round. It was a really good game. Having said that, I think the St Kilda comeback over Richmond was a really impressive result. Collingwood Hawthorn was a really good game. So I think we had a few highlights. I think Gold Coast's effort against GWS was really positive for Gold Coast. So
yes,
probably the two local sides there, neither of those games were particularly exciting. Melbourne had Adelaide measure most of the night, and obviously Port didn't have any concerns with Essendon, and Brisbane beat North. Other than that, I think the rest of the games were pretty impressive. West Coast gave Sydney a bit of a scare for a little while. So,
go ahead.
Geelong Bulldogs for mine. That would have been the pick of the games. I think.
I have to admit, I was, you know, the week before I tipped, and you can go back and listen to the episode, I tipped Richmond to beat Sydney, the week before. But this past week, and I will say it, I thought with everything that had been coming out in the last few days about the Brisbane Vegas trip, you know, because evidently what happened in Vegas did not stay in Vegas.
It did not.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a distraction. So I actually tipped North Melbourne to beat Brisbane this past weekend because I thought they, and again, I tipped Brisbane to win the premiership earlier this year. And here it was, I was tipping, you know, club that finished 17th on the ladder to knock them off. Well, I got that one just catastrophically wrong there. So I'm sure when I talk to Mick Aussie tomorrow, he's gonna give me grief about that one. But I'll wear that one. But I get to wear alongside it the Richmond over Sydney one as well. So, so how guilty do you feel, okay, about the little smirk that you get on your face when you look at the ladder and you see the Crows mired at 0-4 and sitting 15th on the ladder? Do you feel bad about that expression you're getting on your face?
Not one bit. No, look, it's they're in a bit of a position at the moment. I guess they thought their rebuild was on the right track. I think it is, but it's probably not as advanced as they may have thought it was going to be. I think they sort of went from three or four wins to 7 wins to last year 11 wins, and should have been the 12 and probably into the finals. And yeah, rebuilds aren't always linear. They don't always just go on an upward trajectory where you just keep winning more and more games until you get to the top.
Exactly.
And I think the overwhelming sense here amongst the fans is perhaps last year was the absolute best that this list could produce. It was they kind of peaked last year, and perhaps the list isn't quite as good as they thought it was, and a few of the players, I guess, that are in that sort of middle range may not have developed, or maybe that's it for them. That might be their level. So, it's when it's your arch rival, you never get upset about your arch rival struggling. And given it's been a few years now, and it may be a few more, I won't rub it in, because what goes around comes around. So I'll hold the thoughts to myself. But yeah, I can't say it upsets me, Craig.
Yeah, I didn't think you would be too upset about that. So, one last thing I really wanted to touch on with you, and there was actually a couple things, and I just forgot what the second one was here. Maybe it'll pop back into my head, but this is what happens when I get old. So, Tasmania now looks like they are locked in as the 19th side. You would think that the league has got to try to bring in a 20th side, so you don't have a club on a bye week every single round of the season. Although, it might work out. So I've been hearing a lot of rumblings about a couple of different locations. And I'll ask you, because, you are going to have more insight about this. But it sounds like Norwood has put their hand up saying that they would be interested in making a bid for that 20th spot. But then also a town in WA called Bunbury, which is south of Perth. And they've only got a population of about 75,000 people, which I thought was rather small for, that's only like three times of the size of the town that I live in. If you were going to place that 20th club, where would you be putting them?
Well, for Norwood, Norwood's always had a very strong backing from a financier, Wolf Blass, a world-renowned wine label. He's the Wolf Blass Centre's just been opened there at Norwood Oval in the last couple of years, a redeveloped admin hospitality facility. So there's some really good backing by way of funds there. But AFL clubs are a big machine now. They're sort of, $60, $65 million turnover. So they're a big machine. And I think Port Adelaide's financial struggles over the years is probably reflective of the corporate support available in Adelaide. It's not the town that has the top end of town isn't as thick as it is in Melbourne or Sydney. So I think SA would struggle with a third club. Bunbury, okay. Bunbury, as you said, being a regional town, it's about an hour and a half out of Perth. I've been there. It's a beautiful place, but being that far from the city centre would make travel a little difficult, I guess, for interstate visitors. It'd mean, a flight to Perth and then an hour or two drive. And I'm not sure that would have the corporate or the backing to be able to fund a club where I think the logical would be in the far north of Australia. However, Darwin, as you've probably seen over the years when games are played in Darwin during the southern winter, it's wet and slippery and a really difficult position to play footy. The southern winter. However, I think if it was shared amongst the three places that have had games, so Kazali Stadium up in Cairns, TIO in Darwin, and then in Alice Springs, I think if a top-end team was to use those three as their home bases, given that all of them are probably each individual place, Alice, Darwin and Cairns is probably not big enough to support a club on its own. However, if it was spread amongst the three and then obviously play their away games in the rest of the states, I think we could support a team out of the top end, and then truly it would be a national competition. We would have every state represented. We would have a team out of Darwin, which is produce some of the greatest players to come
Absolutely,
into the game.
Yeah.
Michael Long and Gavin Wanganeen, just to name a couple, have come out of that part of the world. So, it would be brilliant to, I think, have a team representing the Northern Territory and the Northern States. Whether that could work or not, I'm not sure, but that'd be how I'd look at structuring it.
Do you think it would be realistic for them to consider actually putting a domed stadium, something similar to Marvel in Darwin? Because if you were able to do that, then you would mitigate the climate there.
I think, look, it would be possible whether the funding would be there or not. I'm not sure. It's, you know, that's a, you know, sort of $600 to $800 million expense, and I'm not sure the population of Darwin could support that by way of other events where, you know, Marvel Stadium has, you know, major concerts play there, and it's sort of a multi-use stadium where,
very good point.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Darwin would be able to support that, but yeah, that's what I'd be looking at. I'd be looking at a top end team that sort of spreads its home games amongst a few states.
All righty. Well, I just, you know, as we wrap up here, I did have a note from Mick Ossie. I put something out on social media asking people's input. You know, Mick is from Adelaide, lives in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada now. And he said, my thought is that the other states can get stuffed with regards to the rumors of wanting to get or to steal the gather round from South Australia. So he wants them to get stuffed. So,
No, that's a good full stop to wrap the chat
yes,
up on, I think.
Exactly. Well, Dave, I want to thank you for reaching out, man. I wanted to do this, and I was going to chat a little bit about this with Mick. And, you know, he and I have generally a finite amount of time to when we sit down to record on Wednesday evenings here, because it's, you know, it's only about 10 hours before, you know, the first bounce of the first game on Thursday night in Australia. So I truly appreciate you reaching out to me, because I wanted to address this, and I'm glad you really helped me to do this. And if people want to give you a follow on social media, where can they do that?
Yeah, you can jump on my Twitter, is probably the best one. It's at Alberton Power, Alberton being the home place of the Port Adelaide Power. So at Alberton Power, I'll put some links on there. I tend to do a little summary of the Port Adelaide games each week. And may get as I mentioned to you earlier, the podcast, unfortunately, we've had to put aside for the moment, but I may look at doing some reviews, and if so, I'll perhaps throw a link up on your page at some stage to that, if people are interested in a bit of Port Adelaide chat.
Now, are you still doing the coffee deal with Kenny Hinckley?
Yeah, I see Ken a bit. I also see the CEO, Matt Richardson, a bit. So yeah, I'm a few coffees down, which is good. But yeah, hopefully I have reason to buy champagne this year instead of just coffee.
There you go. There you go. And I'm sure they would love to have that. Well, Dave, I appreciate you taking time out of your day, sir. And I hope you have an absolutely awesome Wednesday.
Thank you, Craig. And your Cats are going all right at the moment.
Yes, they are. And I'm thrilled. I tipped them 8th. I was cautiously optimistic that they'd be in the 8th this year, but I'm pretty stoked with the way they're playing right now.
Great stuff. Good to chat
you
with
bet.
You again.
Cheers. All right, Dave. Hey, man, I want to thank you so very much for reaching out to me and jumping on here so we could chat about the gather round. I think this is something I'm going to put on my bucket list and hopefully top the 6 games that your friend was able to get to. Ladies and gentlemen, look out for one another. Check up on your friends and family. If you need to reach out to someone, please do that. Don't hesitate to call somebody if you need to speak to someone. And those numbers are always in the show notes of every single episode of this podcast. And if you need to reach out, please do so. And remember, you can find everything related to my podcast over at my website, ayankonthefooty.com. You can find links to all my socials. Spend a lot of my time on Twitter and on Facebook. Sometime on Instagram, at yank underscore on Twitter or X. You can also reach me by email at yankonthefooty@gmail.com. But again, all of those links are on my website, yankonthefooty.com. Love to hear from you. And again, if you enjoy the podcast, I hope you'll consider leaving a 5-star review over there. And again, if you want to help it out, you can check out my Redbubble store page or click that Buy Me a Coffee button to help keep the lights on here, which they almost went out with the storm that we had rolling through here tonight. All right, folks, I do again want to thank you. And as always, may your dribble kick never, ever hit that post. I will catch you later. Cheers. This has been episode 323 of Yank on the Footy. Thanks for listening. I do hope you'll share the podcast with your friends and family. And until next time, everybody, goodbye.